This is Pamela Yellen, President of Bank on Yourself, and I'm thrilled to be speaking today with Dr. Brian Coons. Brian has practiced family and occupational medicine in Ohio for the past 25 years. He's fairly new to Bank on Yourself, but did quite a bit of reading and research into it before jumping in with both feet. Like most Americans, Brian followed the conventional wisdom about money and investing, which resulted in big losses of the money he had worked so hard to save. His experience and frustration led him to explore other options, which led him to Bank on Yourself. Brian has some fascinating personal experience and insights that he's agreed to share and which I know you'll find valuable. Brian, thanks so much for joining me today.
Well, happy to be here.
Would you do us a favor and telling us about your background and experience with investing and saving strategies and what led you to be open to Bank on Yourself in the first place?
Sure, be happy to. First of all, as Pamela stated there, I am a physician, and physicians generally, and myself included, I make a good living. Anyways, it all basically goes back to my wife and myself always being somewhat like short of money. We make a good living, but we just did not have access to our money. It always seemed like it was tied up, right, in our profit-sharing plans and the 401ks and the non-qualified annuities. Just could not get to our money, and it led to a lot of arguments, if you will, because we make a pretty good living, but we just couldn't do the things that we really wanted to do. Now, what we're going to be doing with the Bank on Yourself money, we're going to be remodeling our kitchen, and also my daughter is going to be getting married here in June, so we're going to be financing both of those major projects with this money.
And neither of those projects are inexpensive.
Yes, very true. Getting back to that, along with the conventional investments that we made, I also got into some real estate ventures that did not turn out how we expected them to when we entered into them. And obviously, there's a lot of people in that same boat with this real estate bubble that burst a couple years ago. So here I'm sitting on a stock, you know, some investments that the stock market basically bottoms out, and we lost some money, and then also some real estate ventures that didn't turn out the way that we expected, and it became very frustrating. And my wife and I are both 50 years old. We lost half of our retirement in 2001 when the stock market crashed, and then after getting back to 2008, we lost half of it again in 2008. And it just became very frustrating. And now that I'm age 50, I started thinking to myself, look, I really only have one more chance at this to really do it right in life here. And I need some more guarantees than taking a chance, you know, and gambling here again with my retirement. And it is frustrating when I work as hard as I do, and some days I put in 12 to 16 hours. And it's just frustrating to see half of that retirement, you lose it.
It's just not right. It doesn't seem fair.
So it's very frustrating. So I just thought there's got to be a better way. There just has to be a better way. And I prayed quite a bit at that time. If there is a better way out there, you know, Lord, if you can please give me some direction there. And also, again, being a physician, with the whole healthcare reform that's been dust thoroughly over the last 3 to 4 years here now, and with the passing of Obamacare, as a physician, it's very frustrating of what may happen to our reimbursements, which is, of course, our income. And then with the taxes that we face every year with our income, and it just felt like there's a penalizing achievement type of mentality, and it became very frustrating to me. And so once again, that led me back to my thinking that I wish there was a better way, and maybe there is, but I just haven't found out about it. I admit that I do watch a lot of Fox News Network, and it was on a Wednesday afternoon, a little bit more than a year ago. I was listening to the Sean Hannity radio show, and the Bank on Yourself commercial or I'm on. I thought, that's pretty interesting. I wonder what that's all about. I quickly, as I was driving, wrote down the website address. As soon as I got home that night, I got on the computer and started doing some search about what is this all about. And the more I read, the more excited, the more intrigued I became. And I thought, wow, this sounds like something I might want to read more about. And I kept reading as much as I could online. I bought Pamela's book, and I bought your book, and I read that, and then from there I filled out the analysis portion at the end of the website.
Requesting an analysis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I was hooked up with John Schoedenhelm out of Columbus, Ohio, and John's been a great guy helping me out through this. It's an answered prayer getting into this here. I'm sleeping a lot better now at night.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the guarantees with this whole program is just is what I was looking for. And again, it's not a get rich quick scheme, but it is a get rich slow scheme, and it's guaranteed. Like I said, I'm not in a position to really put my money at risk here anymore. And at the end of the, another 10 to 15 years when I do retire, I'm hoping to have a very nice retirement set up and plus just have the peace of mind that my family is going to be taken care of as well. So.
Before you got referred to your local Bank on Yourself advisor, you have, and I guess even probably still do have, some financial advisors who had advised different products and investments and so on for you, and you ultimately concluded something about financial advisors. Do you want to share what that is?
A couple of financial advisors that I have dealt with, one in particular, I felt that it was more his retirement plan than it was mine. I think he was looking out more for his interest than for mine.
Mm-hmm.
And just some of the financial schemes that he set up for us, for me and my wife, led into that where it looks like, wow, he's setting some things up that he's going to be getting commissions on a regular basis, some pretty healthy commissions for opening up a couple of these products organized for us. Physician, we don't take a lot of classes in business and things like that. Mm-hmm. And kind of my thought process is that, people come into my office and there's got to be a certain level of trust with your doctor. And you got to put your faith in him that he's going to help you out, that he's not going to harm you. And again, I guess I put my trust in one of these advisors in particular. And I felt very betrayed, if you will, or failed, mm-hmm. By him. But it was an educational process. It in a way, because of that, I learned a lot, and it led me in this direction, which I'm now very thankful.
That's the interesting thing about learning. I mean, we do learn from our mistakes and our failures, and it's kind of like, God help us if we don't learn from those mistakes and failures. I've been there, I've been the same, and so have many of the people listening to this. We've made mistakes, and some of us, myself included, have made some of the same mistakes over and over and over again before we finally realize we can't keep doing it that way. And actually getting closer to 60 at this point, and I'm not making any more mistakes with my financial plan. I'm done making mistakes with it.
Right, I am there right now, too. Very excited about this whole process.
Let's talk about the debt paradigm and how important it is to you to have freedom from debt to others.
As far as the debts, because obviously I still, as I work my way out of this hole that I have dug for myself, so to speak, the way I kind of look at it is that with interest, it's not really the rate of interest or the return that you get, but it's the volume of interest that I pay out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more interested in recapturing the mm-hmm. interest versus how much. Well, if I make 8%, I make 10%. That's to me. And when you look at it globally, that's peanuts compared to what you pay out in these interest charges to banks and to autos and all that. And you just pay it because it's part of the package. And if you can pay yourself that's tremendous. I mean, that's in the long run, that's where the real beauty of this whole program is, for me at least.
You know, Brian, I might just mention that you are in a situation where you have a fair amount of debt. Did you have some debt for your practice as well, related to your practice?
We did. As far as with the practice, initially, obviously, we did. But we built my own office building, and that was 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we paid that off about 10 years ago, so that is free and clear right now. But we're going to be adding on to our office building here very soon, of which, again, we're going to be kind of working things out over the next few years that we're going to bank on ourselves as soon as we can with it.
Great. Well, the point that I was going to make is that whenever we start talking about debt, there's always going to be people who will say, well, there's a solution to that. You pay cash. When they say that, it shows that they really and it's not their fault, because this isn't taught in any, not even in Harvard MBA programs do they really teach most of these types of things, and that is the whole concept of financing. You finance everything you buy. You're either going to pay interest to use someone else's money, or you're going to give up the interest or investment income that you could have made if you had kept your money invested instead. So paying cash isn't the answer. That's not the solution. You're still going to be out some interest or investment income. The lovely thing about Bank on Yourself is, because of the types of policies that the Bank on Yourself advisors use for these, when you take a loan against your cash value, your plan continues to grow as though you had never touched a dime of it. You will get the same guaranteed annual cash value increase and the same dividend as you would if you had never taken a dime from your plan. And I don't know anywhere else you can get that.
Dude, I had to read that 3 or 4 times to really say, "Nah, is this for real?" You know, it's literally when they first said that, it's like, no, you end up getting it for free if you think about it, right? Because
you're recapturing it. Yep.
It's one thing that bothered me when I first started reading through your book. I said, "Now somebody's got to pay this," and somewhere along the line, I end up paying for this. I know that I'm going to end up paying for it, just trying to shoot holes in the whole process. But if I have $1 million cash value and I have $100,000 of that sitting out on something that I took the $100,000 loan against my cash value, and I would happen to die, if my death benefit is $2 million, well, my family will get the $2 million minus the $100,000 that's still outstanding. So I think they'll get $1.9 million, which, of course, is income tax-free. I don't think my family would be too upset with that. And here I've been able to use that $100,000 while I was alive, and then they will be able to take care of any debt that to get back to zero, so to speak, with the money that is outstanding.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I had just finished writing a rebuttal, if you will, to a book review that appeared last month in the AAII newsletter. That stands for American Association of Independent Investors, in which they declared that Bank on Yourself is too good to be true. It was a very, very biased article, and so I said I'd like to rebut it. One of the things I did is give them a very concrete example, because they were saying that if you have an unpaid policy loan, it's not really a loan, it's an advance that the insurer has to eventually pay out. And so I gave this example. I started a new policy designed to maximize the power of this concept a little over 4 years ago, and the death benefit at that time was a little over $600,000. Now, just 4 years later, the death benefit had grown to over $1.1 million, an increase of over 82% in just 4 years. So about a year and a half ago, during the peak or the low of the credit crunch, I had almost $125,000 of cash value in the policy, and I took a $100,000 policy loan to expand my business. Now, at the time, all my business owner colleagues were crying on my shoulder about how their bank wouldn't give them a penny, even those who had perfect credit and long-time relationships with their bankers. And they were astonished to discover how I got access to capital by answering just one question: how much do you want?
Yeah, there you go. That's beautiful.
You know? And then if you take it a step further and you say, and by the way, I did invest it in my business. I've almost doubled my return in the last year and a half with that. But suppose I did pass away with part or all of that $100,000 loan unpaid. Well, my husband's going to get nearly $1 million income tax free, which is almost $400,000 more than the original death benefit was, and it's 10 times the current equity remaining in the policy beyond the outstanding loan balance. And I asked them the same question. Do you think it's really going to bother my husband that much if I die before I finish repaying the loan that he only gets $400,000 more than the original death benefit and only 10 times more than the current cash value?
Right. That is awesome.
Ridiculous. And I challenge anybody, tell me any other product or strategy that can give you that advantage.
Right. That's awesome. That's why this is so exciting for me.
So why are guarantees important to you?
Obviously for peace of mind, as far as the guarantees are. And like I had mentioned earlier, I only have really one chance at having a really, really good retirement. And because of this whole concept and this whole program, I am now very excited about retirement and the future and even my children's lives and future. Because I see this leaving a real legacy, and not only leaving a legacy, but enjoying the future with my children, and knowing that they will always be taken care of because of this whole program. As you mentioned too, it's just dealing with banks are just just very has been very frustrating for me, and just trying to secure these loans with the volume of paperwork, everything that they need to review. Just the recent loans I've taken, I've even just buying automobiles and putting on additions, it is just very, very frustrating nowadays to try to secure loans from.
Absolutely. Last year, I refinanced our mortgage, which is currently the only debt I have outside of the debt to my life insurance policies. And I refinanced the mortgage, and I use the same bank that I've used every time before. I've had decades-long relationship with them. I have never been late on a payment of anything. And they made me jump through so many hoops. Literally, I spent the equivalent of probably 80 to 100 hours preparing endless paperwork for them. I have no love lost for financial institutions at all anymore after that. I do like the idea of financing my homes. I think that is what I would call good debt, other than debt to your bank on yourself plan, which is good debt as well. But I think I do believe in having mortgages. I think they are better than locking your money up in your home and letting someone else control the money. But I am so happy that other than that, the only thing I need to do is make a call and say, this is how much money I want.
Right. Yeah, clearly there's definitely good debt and there's bad debt. And again, you can use debt to your advantage, as you just stated there. As a physician, getting into some asset protection maneuvers, that can be very valuable.
Yes, and definitely bank on yourself policies and life insurance policies in general do have some additional protections against creditors and judgments and so on. And it varies by state, but it is it definitely has some appeal. And I know as a physician, physicians tend to have a target on their backs in a separate segment, we're going to talk geared specifically towards physicians. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Now, you mentioned a little bit about your children and passing a legacy onto your children. And what are some of the things that you're going to do with as a family with Bank on Yourself?
Before I answer that, let me tell you a little story, which I think was just absolutely great that happened to me. I have two daughters and a son, and I have a daughter that has graduated from college, and that's the one that's getting married here in June. I have a second daughter. She's in pharmacy, and obviously, as I stated, I just could not read enough about Bank on Yourself concept and the infinite banking concept and that sort of thing. And obviously, like most of us, when you're really into something, you kind of start sharing it with the people that are around you. And obviously, my family is the closest people, and so my children started hearing me talk about this concept, and I thought, I really need to educate these guys so that they don't make the same mistakes I do. So as I was uncovering more and more things with the reading that I've been doing, I've been sharing it with my children on and off. I had to drive her back to school one Sunday evening. And as we were driving back, I just went through the whole concept with her. I said, as a pharmacist, you're going to have, you're going to make a pretty good living as well, when you get to that point. But we need to, if we can, even start you on one of these plans right now. And this is why. This is what I'm doing with my retirement, my money. And this is what you need to be thinking about for the future. Kind of trying to educate her and just kind of sat there looking out the window, kind of like, all right, here's Dad going through one of his, his
phases.
Financial phases again. And,
latest and greatest.
So she was listening, as she was looking out the window and really didn't say much. Later, a week later, she was home again. We started talking, and she said, Dad, when can I open up one of my life insurance policies myself? I said, why is that? And she goes, well, when I got back to school that night after we talked on the way up there, I got on the internet and I Googled any negative comments about Bank on Yourself schemes and process or the life insurance. And she said, I could not really find anything that was really negative about what you were telling me. She got very excited about it, too. And so I thought that was great. That was a great story.
It is a great story about a 20-year-old who's going to basically guarantee that she'll be a millionaire, regardless of what happens in the markets between now and then. And it's very exciting. And and the interesting thing is that when she went, you will find some so-called, I'll put it in quotes, negative comments about Bank on Yourself on the internet. But if you keep reading, you'll find every one of them is trash. Many, many experts come on and say that is not true and here's why, and they give all the evidence and facts. She at least didn't read the first sentence on, she actually went through, and so I credit her for that. I really credit her for that.
Right. I credit her for just for actually saying, well, I'm gonna do my own homework on this, and kind of check it out.
It's great.
But to get back to the original question then, so with my children, which I already alluded to, it's the whole story about, I want to teach them how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give them just a couple pails of fish at the end of the road and say, here's your inheritance. I want to teach them how to fish. Don't fish for them. Fish for them and you feed them for a day. You teach them how to fish and you feed them for a life, that whole concept.
Absolutely.
So doing this by, trying to educate my kids. The main thing that I want to pass on to them, that I really do not want to see them make the same mistakes that I have made, along the way, because it is painful and it makes life more difficult. But at the same time, I know that we learn from our mistakes, but it's easier to learn if you're through the process of education and not by the school of hard knocks. The pain that you have to endure when you lose your retirement over a 2 or 3 month time frame, that's painful.
Very.
And hoping that it's going to grow back, it's a big hope that you're going to recapture that if the markets, perform.
Right. And that, unfortunately, that is the strategy that most people use, hope. They hope that they're going to get X percent return. They hope that the market's going to come back. They hope that we're not going to have two crashes every decade. They're just hoping. They have no proof of it whatsoever.
Exactly. And hope, for me, is not a good strategy.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
That gets back to the guarantees, question that you asked me earlier. It's that hope is not a good strategy. So that's why I need to have guarantees. I guess what I'd like to do with my children is certainly get plans opened up for them, get policies opened up for them, because time, you can take advantage of the time and you can build up the cash values and got to pay into it early on. But once it gets rolling and once you build up enough cash value, And like you said, in another 10 years, and when she graduates and she's making a pretty good living herself, she can, if she needs to, she can open up a second plan or a second life insurance policy on herself.
It'll be the first of many over her lifetime.
Yeah. And she can do that with her children. But the other thing that I'm real excited about that I'm working with my children is actually having a family bank. I'm trying to position myself with my life insurance and my wife's life insurance policies. I can help my children And it's not going to be free money to them. They're going to have to act like a bank, but they don't have to go through all this going and sit down in a, you know, big commercial bank, you know, or big established bank, and have to, you know, fill out all the paperwork and have to show them my credit scores and hoping that maybe they'll provide me a loan. They'll be able to get the loan right through our family bank.
Right.
But they need to pay it back, and it's not free money. They need to, you know, show the respect that it deserves and pay back, you know, with interest and be a part of building that whole family bank process. And then obviously there's models out there where these multi-millionaires and multi-billionaires have done that very thing.
Absolutely.
The whole Walt Disney story and that sort of thing.
In case any insurance department is listening to this, I'll just make the comment, because when you talk about, use the phrase family bank, you know, they get a little bent out of shape. And I will just clarify for any insurance departments that are listening that, yes, we know that Bank on Yourself is not truly a bank, and it is not a substitute for a bank in that sense. And what we are talking about here is about using the policies to become our own sources of financing.
Absolutely.
So what final thought or thoughts would you like to leave our listeners with?
Call it life insurance and not death insurance. You're living your life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You're using the living benefits and not just the death benefits. Obviously, the death benefit is what I call the cherry on top. But there are so many valuable tools where $1 is doing so many different jobs for you. The way I have designed working with John Schoenhelm, long-term care is now a part of my plan. 10 to 15 different things that $1 is now doing for me inside of my life insurance. So it's very, very exciting.
It is. The biggest regret people usually have is that they didn't stumble on this sooner. But the point is, and I love that African proverb, that the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, but the second best time is today. Yeah, congratulations, Brian, for getting your financial house in order and not following conventional wisdom. And we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy practice today to share your experience with us. I know that the experience and insights you shared will be an inspiration to many. So thank you, Brian.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for the opportunity to talk with you.
It's my pleasure.